Welcome to The Joyce Buckner Show, the show dedicated to helping you create relationships you love. With your host, clinical psychologist, and author of the book, Making Real Love Happen, Dr. Joyce Buckner.
Love does not begin and end the way we seem to think. Love is a growing up. This is Dr. Joyce Buckner. Welcome to the show with you in mind. The show committed to help you create relationships you love. And our part is sharing information with you. And you'll remember that today we will have a 30-minute show, so we have a lot to get in. We've been talking about the necessity of understanding one another if you are to develop rapport, that is, an experience of being together that feels safe, that feels comfortable, that feels good. And today, we're going to help you understand an important part of yourself that is often a source of conflict, not only within yourself, but also within a relationship. You're probably already aware, at least to some degree, of where your sensitive places are. The words are actions that tend to pierce your heart. In other words, the things that cause you to become reactive. But in order for another person to help you heal these sensitive spots, he or she needs specific information. And for you to be able to give it to him or her, you must be very clear as to what your unfulfilled needs are. That is, what causes you pain. And here are some exercises. They're very simple that you can do, which will help you become more clear within yourself. Because, you know, the way your body reacts, and sometimes we call it our defensiveness, clues you in on how you are experiencing the threat or the pain. If you get emotional, that is, you get angry or hurt or are fearful, you know, or whatever it is, you're experiencing neglect. That is, you perceive that someone is ignoring you, being inattentive, you feel unimportant and not valued, you feel kind of, you know, left out, abandoned. And your reactive behavior is for the purpose of getting attention so that you experience connection and withness. On the other hand, if you tend to shut down, that is, if when you're reactive, if you tend to get cold inside, you are perceiving that the other is attempting to intrude on your territory, to get into your space and try to take over and control or manipulate, coerce, persuade. So your reactive behavior of withdrawing, and sometimes I refer to that as circling the wagons, you know, is to keep the invaders out so you can retain your own space to be your own person. You'll also, along with that, replace those shut down feelings with becoming over rational. You'll have lots of explanations as to what's going on, you know, in the situation. And you recall this dynamic that I've just sort of very quickly outlined for you. We've explained it earlier, you know, in some of our earlier programs. And you remember that when one of you is experiencing neglect, your aggressive behavior in response to that experience of neglect will result in the other person feeling intruded upon. And, of course, then their reactive behavior of withdrawing will accelerate the abandonment feelings. So the dynamic builds pain on both sides. And this is what is going on in that power struggle situation that partner's experience finally as an impasse. And it's like they come to believe that it cannot be corrected. But hopefully by now, you've recognized that we all have a primary reactive style, and your partner will predictably have the opposite reactive style. So, what is your primary reactive style? If you tend to withdraw when you get threatened, we call that minimizing. And that means you'll be shutting down your feelings. You'll be, again, just sort of pulling back, pulling out of interacting. If you become more emotional, we call that maximizing. And, of course, when you're maximizing, you're becoming more emotional. You're becoming more sort of in the other person's territory, if you please. And I've reminded you of your purpose in your reactivity. If you are into minimizing, you're trying to get more space. If you are into maximizing, you're attempting to get more connection. And these are the purposes every time. It's so important that you come to understand that whatever the behavior is, whatever the words are, that underneath those words, underneath the behaviors, is the attempt to either become closer to you or to have more space in the relationship so that I can feel safe in being able to continue to be myself. Well, here is how you correct this predictable dynamic in every relationship. First, recognize the complaints you have of others. Notice that they will be patterned. Did you do that exercise earlier when I asked you to make a list of the major complaints that you have of love relationship partners? I hope you did, but whether you did or not, you can do it today. Of course, you won't have time to do it during the show, but you can do it, you know, when you have some time to get to it after you've listened to the show. And then you will need to treat each one of those complaints as I will treat an example complaint here. In other words, I'm going to give you an example of what to do with each one of those complaints that you come up with. I'm going to just make up a complaint. We'll call it a pretend complaint. Let's say that one of my complaints is that he is late for appointments, and I hate that. I just hate it when he's late. Okay, so again, you will make a list of your complaints, and I want you to fill in the complaint. And this is the first incomplete sentence that I'm going to give you to use to fill in. Hopefully, again, you have a pen or something you can jot this down with. But if not, you can come back. It will be recorded, as you know, on WRNW1.com, and you can record it at that time. So here's the sentence. When blank, of course, that means, you know, underlined a place where you can fill it in. When blank, and then another blank, then I blank. Got it? When blank, blank, I blank. And then when I'm being reactive, I feel blank, which I express by blank. Okay, now I'm going to fill that in for you. And we're going to use this example that I gave you, you know, about being late. So it would fill out something like this. When, and the first blank is the name of your partner. So I'm going to say when John, in the second blank, and there put an item from your list. So we're using late for an appointment. So when John is late for an appointment, I, and in this next blank, you will put either minimize or maximize. You know, depending on whether or not you withdraw and shut down or whether or not you get emotional. So I'm going to say I maximize. Now, when I'm being reactive, I feel, and in that blank, you're going to state the feelings. And here I'm going to put I feel diminished, unimportant, and angry, which I express by, and then in this last blank, you're going to put in your adaptive behavior. That is what you actually do. And so I'm going to put in there, I express by berating, lecturing, and criticizing him. So my sentence there would sound like this. When John is late for an appointment, I maximize. When I'm being reactive, I feel diminished, unimportant, and angry, which I express by berating, lecturing, and criticizing him. You got it? Okay, now, that's the first sentence that I want you to complete with every one of your complaints. Now, I'm going to give you another sentence to complete with the same list of complaints. Now, this sentence goes like this. When blank, blank, the part that bothers me most is blank. Okay, did you get that? When, and in the first blank, you'll put my partner. When my partner, and the second blank is the item from your list. Then the part that bothered me most is, and then that will be whatever bothered you most. And the rest of that paragraph, this is a little small paragraph. I can imagine that this part bothers me most because it reminds me of a way that I experienced being treated during my childhood that was hurtful to me. Now, I'm not going to suggest that you attempt to dig around in your past and figure out maybe how you were treated. That is being reminded, that you've been reminded of in this behavior, at least not right now. But what you will notice is that as you do this kind of work we're doing, you're going to begin to remember these situations that will fit. And it will be pretty easy for you to come up with whatever that was. So let me fill that sentence in where I'm still using this late for an appointment complaint of mine. Okay, so it would sound something like this. When John is late for an appointment, the part that bothers me most is that he never acknowledges that he's late, that he never acknowledges that he's left me waiting. Nor does he apologize. Did you get that? It's like, you know, I'm really thinking about it. I figured out what really bothers me about his being late. And that is that he never acknowledges that he's, you know, that he's left me waiting. He never even mentions it. And he doesn't apologize. You got that? Okay, so that's your second sentence. Now, I'm going to give you just, you know, I'm just going to chat a few minutes more about this this part of our work. You know, it's like each complaint or frustration that you list has beneath it an unfulfilled desire. Does that kind of connect? Can you kind of get that? And this unfulfilled desire has gone unmet for a very long time. That you have these desires is not bad. It is not neurotic. It is not sinful, and it is not immature. Wanting to be whole and fully alive is completely natural, healthy, and in keeping with your human nature. So often I've had people come in my office saying things like, well, you know, I would really like my partner to do this. You know, it would be so nice if they're going to be later than they had told me that they would arrive. If they would just call me and let me know that they're running about 30 minutes late. But they keep telling me that I ought to quit wanting them to do that and just realize that they'll get there when they get there. And, you know, that always makes me sad, because we can't just not need something that we need to meet the pain that we're going to experience when we're treated in a way that is hurtful. So, the next piece that I'm suggesting that you do with this list of complaints of your partners that you've had in love relationships is to discover the unfulfilled desire behind the complaint. And so here's your incomplete sentence to use to do that. My unfulfilled desire behind, and here's your big blank, and that's going to be your complaint from your list, is, and here's another blank, and that's going to be your unfulfilled desire. And so, again, in the example that I'm using, that would sound like this when I fill it in. So, my unfulfilled desire behind your being late for an appointment is to feel valued and respected by you. Oh my, how about that? You are giving absolutely invaluable information here. Telling your partner your unfulfilled desires is exactly what he needs to know to be able to behave in a way that will open your heart. Because you know what? The composite of your unfulfilled desires is the key to your heart. Do you hear that? The composite of your unfulfilled desires is the key to your heart. I think probably I need to shift that around a little bit and say, not of your unfulfilled desires, but the composite of your filled desires. The filled desires that have been shifted from the unfulfilled desires. And this is how you will be able to give up criticisms. You will replace being critical with simply saying what you desire. And notice, that's all we'll be doing, a simple saying of what you're desiring. We're not talking about making any kind of command or any kind of demand, but only saying what you desire. But, and this is kind of a big but, you will never consistently have your desires met by withdrawing from or by intruding upon your partner, which is what all of us do when we're hurt and aren't being conscious and intentional. The partner whose major style is minimizing tends to focus on what he or she doesn't want and is getting. You know, they're being intruded upon. Whereas the partner whose major style is maximizing is likely to focus more on what he or she does want and isn't getting. So they're trying to come after it. Well, transferring your intentional focus from what you don't want and from what you aren't receiving to what you do want and can receive makes it possible for you to love and be loved. So, once again, what's the key to your heart? That's simple. It's having the desires behind your unmet childhood needs met. This is what you need to feel loved. I'm going to say it again. It is having the desires behind your unmet childhood needs met. This is what you need to feel loved. Only you know the combination. Only you can provide it. And the key to your partner's heart, of course, it's going to be the same. Whatever he or she needs to feel loved. Whatever he or she needs that will fill the desires behind their unmet childhood needs. Developing a mature, fulfilling relationship in which you both obtain the elusive goal of loving and being loved requires that each of you look inward. Acknowledge your own needs. They are whatever they are. And in vulnerability, make them clearly known to one another. And the more you eliminate criticism from your life, the more healthy and wholesome you and all of your world will be. And here's to encouraging you to begin to call in, ask questions to help you build your skill of being able to translate these criticisms into desires and learn how to say the desires so the message is clearly simply, I'm sharing this precious information with you. I'm trusting you with who I really am. Well, here's to creating relationships you love. This is Dr. Joyce Buckner, coming to you from WRNW1.com, and I'll see you next time.